"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Welcome, everybody. You know, tomorrow we're going to do something pretty special, which we only started doing the last few years. We are going to have a hack in the year of the year for the dumpster. Hack of the year. Especially reserved for somebody that has spent the entire year being useless or corrupt or incompetent or all of those things. So you will find out who that is tomorrow during this very hour. Exciting news. New survey finds that Los Angeles has overtaken New York City as the city with the largest homeless population.
How about that?
A story that came out over the weekend was from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. It was a look at the nation's homelessness. Their number is 582,000 people nationwide counted as homeless. Now, when you consider that L.A. itself has 42,000 in the last count.
We're disproportionately represented.
Now, this story says we're at 65,000.
The county is supposedly around 70.
I know. So are they really talking about L.A. County rather than L.A. City? It's confusing in the way people don't do their homework. New York City's homelessness supposedly declined to less than 62,000 from nearly 78,000 in the year 2020.
Oh, it came here.
Overall, there was a little change in the number of homeless during the pandemic, the beginning of the pandemic to the end.
Most of New York's homeless, though, are in shelters because that's the law. New York has a requirement to shelter the homeless. It's not housing, actually. It's not.
It's a lot independent of shelters.
It's a lot of shelters, but they're allowed to take everybody off the street and put them inside.
Yeah.
Here, we don't have that.
I don't even know. You're right. That is basically the rule in New York City, but.
I mean, it's not like they get every person because obviously a lot of people resist and nobody wants to get into the big fight over that.
And when you consider the weather in New York, some homeless, you know, they'll freeze to death on the street. So they do take the shelter, particularly I'm looking right now, it's 35 degrees in New York. It's always been said that people like California and Southern California in particular because you can stay outside year round.
Sure, you can live outdoors all 12 months.
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that great?
So basically, the U.S. homeless numbers stayed the same as before the pandemic. But Los Angeles has, according to this report, overtaken New York City for the most homeless people.
And they have twice the population.
They do.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Karen Bass, tomorrow will be an exciting media day because tomorrow, I mean, last week on this day, she declared a state of emergency. Later in the week, she signed an executive order.
Okay, so we have an oral declaration. We have a written order.
Okay. An executive order to speed up and cut the red tape to get things built. Supposedly, there. By the way, it only applies to affordable housing projects. I don't know how that's defined, but that's the ruling with her executive order.
Well, that
isn't going to speed up the review process for all real estate developments, just those that are affordable housing developments.
And how many? I wonder how many units that affects.
I don't know.
Because is that a small number of units? Like, it sounds like a great big headline that she's taken action. And but what's the actual result of this? And who gets to go in the units? Are these people who are just poor? It's not going to be the people who are frightening us.
I don't know. Here's a story. Another key element waives discretionary reviews on projects that do not require zoning changes. Currently, those reviews, which can include public hearings, environmental reports, are required on all projects of 50 units or more. To avoid those reviews, developers have often planned projects of 49 units when zoning could have allowed them more. So this is kind of the kind of thing she's trying to do, cut some of the restrictions.
Okay, I mean, that's great, but it just seems it's marginal, and it affects people, I would imagine, who are in some kind of shelter, but this is more permanent housing that they can live in.
Yeah, whatever and this I, is, it isn't like tomorrow they're going to finish all these buildings and we're going to put all the homeless in them. That's not going to happen.
We drove through Hollywood last night. I mean, when are those people going to be removed? I don't think those people I saw in the streets of Hollywood last night are being moved into this kind of housing. I think it's going to be, you know, the single mother with a couple of kids who might be living in a car or might be living in some kind of temporary shelter or halfway house kind of situation. Yeah. You know, they're relatively benign. They're not what we're afraid of. How about the ones we're afraid of? Those are the people we want immediate action on. That is the only group that Karen Garcetti is not addressing in her various interviews and declarations and executive orders. What about the people who frighten us?
You're trying out Karen Garcetti. I like
Karen. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, because I think that ties it in more to the
incompetent
boob that's leaving us.
Because I know the LA Times is going to slobber over her, but they don't really matter anymore. What does the public think? The public wants the crazy people, the scary people off the streets. And I don't think most people care where they go. They just want them off the streets because it's frightening to take a walk and go shopping or go to the grocery store, or go to a restaurant. That's frightening now. So fix that.
Yeah, as big as a city that LA is with millions of population, 40,000 doesn't sound like a lot of homeless, but you're right. When you have the chronic crazies who are disrupting everything and camping out in public places, they take up a lot of the fear. You're right.
Yeah, and the big clusters. The clusters in front of the schools, for example.
Yeah. So if there is a plan, here it is. Tomorrow, she's going to kick off Inside Safe. First thing she did was sign this executive order to speed up the building process. But obviously, all of those buildings are not going to be up overnight. So tomorrow, what she's going to do is move homeless people from tent encampments into hotels and motels. Have we seen this before? We did. We saw this during the pandemic. Gavin Newsom had Operation, what was it, Room Key, Home Key, something like that, which was the same idea. And LA County tried this once everyone said, you can't put them into shelters with the pandemic. They'll give each other COVID. They need their own hotel rooms.
Are these the same hotels and motels that were used during the lockdown?
Remember, she told the Times she will not commandeer any hotels.
Right. So it's a whole, they must be paying enough money so the motel operators are going to go along with it.
Yeah. So I don't see how it's any different than what they were doing.
Well, maybe it's not. Are they just extending the old program?
I'm thinking yes, but maybe what she's claiming is with a renewed effort to get out there and keep trying to talk people into going to these hotels.
And who is staying in these hotels before this homeless?
What was that
idea?
Hotel we talked about last week in downtown L.A., the Cecil Hotel? And
yeah,
it's like
right.
Mostly empty? Isn't that where she should send them first? Because it's mostly empty.
Well, yeah, they got 400 empty rooms in there, and the guy's begging. The guy's begging to take in homeless people.
The guy? Oh, is it the manager or the owner?
The owner. The owner of it. Yeah.
Wow, seems like a bad idea. Would you want 400 homeless people in your hotel?
He does.
Even if only 10% of them act up, that's a lot of trouble.
And he's frustrated by the city because the machinery's not working. He can't get the homeless people. Or, you know, what he wants is them to have these vouchers to pay for the rooms.
Yes, those Section 8 vouchers or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, those housing vouchers. Right. And that's the way it's going to work. I guess the outreach people are going to go out there once again to the tent encampment. She says they're focusing on the big tent encampments. And they're going to go out there and try to wear these people down into coming in to a hotel room.
Okay. But these people have been repeatedly approached. For,
of course they have.
For many years
That's
now.
Why you and I think this is silly. This has been done.
So is it the same conversation every time? And what do you do with the guy on meth?
Yeah, she's claiming that if you keep, this is what Newsom said a few years ago, if you keep hacking away, they eventually give in. I don't know.
Really? That works on meth addicts?
If they understand what you're asking.
I want to see how that works. Guy in the middle of like some, meth mental breakdown. You see the video, like they're spinning around, they're half naked, they're sweating, they're snarling, howling like a wild animal. Talk to him about taking a room.
All right. When we come back, we'll play some of this audio. She's really gone national. I mean, she had quite the inaugural event. Stevie Wonder was there. Kamala Harris was there.
Right.
Newsom was there. Now she goes on NBC's Meet the Press. She's already been on CNN.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not keeping this local. She wants to make her impact nationally.
And she is like Garcetti. She talks a lot and talks in circles. And by the end of the question... by the end of the answer, you forget what the question is, and nobody follows up.
Well, she also states the obvious. Mm-hmm. We're going to get people off the streets and into hotel rooms, and we'll take care of them. We're going to get them some housing, so then we can treat their mental illness or their addictions
or
whatever they have.
No one's going to be coerced, though.
We'll play that clip because that's key to this. No one will be coerced. There won't be any sweeps. Meaning that if the homeless leave on their own voluntary accord, yeah, then maybe we'll take the broom out after they leave. But the broom and the washer. All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
Oh, come on. Happy holidays, everybody.
Come on, let's go.
I want
fantastic.
I want it. But I'll tell you.
Can you feel it?
I like that.
Yeah, that's our Christmas tune. That's what we got.
Christmas classic.
I mean, Coast may be going wall to wall with holiday music, but man, we got that.
Anyway, we get Coast to play that once, just one
Tony
time.
Tony Villar, Jingle Bells.
Anybody we can slip some money to, and they put that in the system. Yeah,
to put that in the rotation.
How funny would that be, huh?
Who knows? They might get calls. I want to hear that again. Who was that?
Yeah, why don't you start calling Coast and requesting Tony Villar?
Oh. I think we'll just play that the whole show tomorrow and just enjoy it. Well, we might as well have Tony Villar weigh in. We're talking about the Los Angeles mayor, Karen
Call
Bass.
Call up Karen Sharp on love songs.
Yes, exactly right. Karen Garcetti, we're calling her.
Come on, let's go.
Yes.
Karen. Which is perfect because the first clip we're going to play from Meet the Press, where she appeared yesterday with that dope Chuck Todd, was how is her plan any different than what Yoga Pants Garcetti has been trying to do. So let's start with clip one.
What's going to make what you're doing more successful than what Mayor Garcetti attempted to do?
Well, I think a few things. First of all, it's not just about the money. Of course, money is needed, but it's really about the arcane bureaucratic process. You talk to developers and it's just so difficult to get anything done. So when I declared a state of emergency and issued following executive directives, it basically allows the process to be centralized. It allows time certain for building. Chuck, the other day I did a press conference on a piece of land where the builder had been working for 16 years and it just finally broke ground. So it's about bursting past the bureaucratic maze and developers having no idea when approvals will be done. So now I'm requiring that approvals and the process be moved within 30 to 60 days.
I got to say one thing, though.
What?
She's clearer to me than Garcetti or Newsom. When Garcetti and Newsom speak, Newsom uses all the jargon, all that nonsense, on point, in this space, meet the moment. And Garcetti just tries to wax poetic.
Yeah.
She does get to the point with kind of a very nice, happy delivery. But
all right, so...
All right, so that's it. That's the reason we're in this mess, because we can't get buildings built fast enough. Really? I just don't believe that.
No.
I mean, this could be of some value, but I don't believe this is the breakthrough.
No, she's a housing first person. That's the problem. Housing first is the failed strategy that they have been trying for a decade. It's a failure, and it's a failure everywhere in the country. Nowhere has it worked. It's an ideology. It's not a strategy. It's not a plan. It's an ideology. It's a bumper sticker. It's what activists, lame-brained activists, shout. Because it's easy. It's two words. It's easy to understand. It's not practical. And it doesn't solve the problem, because many of the homeless people have zero interest in housing.
Let me put it this way. What do they say about people who have alcohol and drug problems? They have to hit rock bottom. Don't you think what we see on the streets is rock bottom? Well, yeah, they've hit rock bottom and they're not doing anything about
that's
it.
Why
so that's why they have to be coerced.
I always thought that cliche was a load of crap. Because there are plenty of people who hit rock bottom, and they just stay at the bottom.
There are. But there are some people who one day realize, wow. Because they always say, you can't talk somebody into getting help. They have to realize it for themselves. And I think that does happen with a lot of people, but this crowd we're seeing on the streets, they're beyond that.
Well, that's
a whole different thing.
Right, because this is real brain damage in the streets. If you don't have brain damage, yes, you'll get tired of waking up in your own vomit. But if you have brain damage, going back to what we were discussing last week, is that you lose the instinct for self-preservation.
Right.
So now rock bottom doesn't mean anything. It's a meaningless concept, because you're no longer trying to live. You're no longer trying to survive. You are just pleasing the base instinct of wanting the high. Or wanting the fentanyl coma.
All right, let's move on to clip number two here and talking about any ideas of enforcement.
What do you do about people that don't want to leave, that don't want to move, that don't want to go into shelters?
Well, you know, what we have found in the community organizations that we're bringing in to do this work is that you can get 95% of the people housed.
No.
People will go. It takes a while. You have to do outreach. And what the community programs do is that they work with people who were formerly unhoused.
Formerly unhoused.
People are unhoused for a variety of different reasons. Some are
profoundly... Stop. It's all the same jargon.
If you can get 95% of them removed, we would have had them removed by now. This has been going on for many years.
Even Garcetti could have pulled that off. If all you had to do was ask.
How many times does the LA Times do a story where someone says, I've been on the streets for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years?
Right. They were never asked?
I guess not.
We got 11 million outreach workers out there, and that guy was never asked.
Never reached. Right.
She's full of the terms. The unhoused.
Is. Yes. I sense is optimism, but this is going to be different because I'm in charge.
What is the difference between unhoused and homeless? Like, what is...
There is no
There's no significance.
It's the same thing. Whenever a stigma gets attached to a word, it has to be changed.
Right. There's no stigma to unhoused?
Homelessness now, when you're called homeless, there's something demonizing about that. So they switched over to unhoused.
Unhoused is not demonizing.
Not yet. but keep doing it.
We have to demonize that word.
You might be the one that could demonize words more than anybody.
That one makes me laugh, though. For some reason, when I hear unhoused, I especially when news people use it, because you know none of these news people ever used that word in their whole career or use it in their real life. But for some reason, the woke council decided unhoused is the word, and then all the news heads go, that's what it is. It's unhoused now. That's in the style book, okay? Everybody's got to say unhoused.
All right, let's move to cut five because we get the idea of a timeline to all this about getting the homeless off the streets.
Give me a metric which you should be judged in 4 years on the homeless situation. Is it number of people on the streets, number of tent encampments? What's a fair way to judge your success or failure?
Well, a fair way to judge it would be encampments should be significantly down, if not eliminated, and there should be housing being built underway at a much more rapid pace, and there should not be 40,000 people who are unhoused, that's for sure.
Well, we know that.
Right, so basically he set up the question by saying 4 years from now.
Right.
What should we be looking for when she's running for re-election?
Right.
And significant reduction.
What is significant? What's the number on that?
She has told the El Segundo Times or somebody that 17,000 she thinks she can get off the streets in the first year. But we want to point this out again, and Controller Ron Galperin said this first. They're going to put out a number that's 17,000, but that could be people that have spun in and out of homelessness.
That's right. It has to be 17,000.
Just like people who cross the border several times. They come back again.
It has to be 17,000 people permanently off the streets, not an accumulation of the same people.
But if that happens, we're
going to
get the other one. The other one is, I'm sorry, they're falling into homelessness faster than we can keep up. And we have 17,000 people in permanent housing,
right,
but 20,000 replace them.
Because the Greyhound station is still open, and the buses keep coming in from the other 49 states, or I should say probably 47 states.
Yeah, nobody talks about that.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is.
Who was it? That the Venice where they took that little census?
Yes.
And they found out that it was largely out-of-state people.
It was largely out-of-state people. And again, all the stuff that really matters, nobody talks about. What are you going to do with the meth addicts, the fentanyl addicts? What are you going to do with the schizophrenics, the bipolar cases? What are you going to do with the people tumbling off the bus who other police departments, other sheriffs, other cities put them on buses and sent them to L.A. because they think it's funny? What do you think goes on in the South and Midwest in these towns, right? You got the local crazy guy who the parents threw about because he had stolen all his mother's jewelry for meth. And the cops put him on a bus. And it's like, we took care of him. We sent him to L.A. They'll love him there. Tell me that doesn't go on every day all over.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Hey, Mike. Glad you could join me for some great seafood.
Me too.
Wait, why are you dressed in fishing gear?
You said we were going out to catch great seafood, right?
Yes, to Popeyes. Do you even know how to fish?
No, I thought you did.
Oh, yeah, I could catch pretty good seafood at Popeyes. Let's go.
Let Popeyes do the fishing while you enjoy our delicious signature seafood. Get Popeyes flounder fish sandwich or shrimp tackle box before they're gone. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
In a moment, another gaffe by Joe Biden. I don't know. This time, it kind of felt like he might have been drinking. Something was really strange about the way he rambled. And he really does repeat himself. He tells like the same damn old stories that some of them were not true to begin with. I guess he made up a story about his uncle getting a Purple Heart. Did you hear that one?
No. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, that was in the news last week. And the New York Post tracks these down, researched it, and said his uncle's passed away. He never got the Purple Heart for
he just says
being
stuff.
In the Battle of the Bulge, is what Biden said.
It's all gone haywire upstairs.
In honor of the World Cup, which just finished yesterday with Argentina the winner, I thought to kind of tie it into what we've been talking about this hour, I was not aware of this. This is a bit of a surprise to me. Sacramento, California will host the Homeless World Cup next year. This is not a parody. This is actually a true thing.
What is that?
The homeless and formerly homeless play soccer and they compete. It'll include more than 500 athletes from more than 50 countries. All players have experienced homelessness within the past 3 years, or they're defined as refugees. Our mission is to fight poverty through
refugees.
Soccer.
Well, refugees, those sound like ringers. Young guys from Central or South America, where they probably grew up playing soccer.
Okay. So, well, these will be a bunch of countries coming here. It's going to be just like the World Cup, except Sacramento will host it, and it's the Homeless World Cup. This has apparently gone on a few times.
They're homeless in America, or they're homeless in their home countries?
Their home countries.
The whole thing's kind of stupid.
The last tournament was held in Wales in 2019.
There's homeless people in Wales?
I guess.
That's tough weather. I don't know.
Previous tournaments have been in Copenhagen, South Africa, Australia, and they did one under the Eiffel Tower in Paris and drew some spectators.
People identify themselves based on not having a place to live, and now there are sports and tournaments organized around that?
Well, I guess because they're formerly homeless, they're saying, I made it, and now I play soccer to send my message to others that you can make it too. No?
Isn't that something you just wouldn't even tell anybody?
But there are some people that believe it's become like some former alcoholics try to help current alcoholics that admit that they were in bad shape and they're trying to.
Yeah, I know, it's different between getting off an addiction, which is a physiological problem, and like getting a job. I mean, going to work. I mean, 100% of homelessness is connected to not working. If you work, it's almost impossible not to have a home.
No.
I mean, even if it's a single room. That's what it is. It's people who don't go to work. They do something else other than work. Almost every case. Now, there may be reasons, but still. If you decide, once you're of age, I'm just going to go to work every day. You'll always be in a home.
All right, here is the Biden audio. He was greeting a 102-year-old World War II veteran by the name of Ray Fermani. That's key because Fermani sounds Italian.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's done this before where he starts talking about his wife's family or something. Here we go.
I may be Irish, but I'm not stupid. I married Dominic Giacoppa's daughter, so, I got a little Italian in me now. But it is remarkable, right? Flew 25 B-17 bombing runs during World War II, and I might add, won the Distinguished Flying Cross. Ray, you were part of the, was referred to as the greatest generation. But there's no generation in American history more than this present and recently passed generation that have been deployed more. Have
sounds tired.
Given more than the generation represented by
what?
The people we're going to be looking at and honoring today.
I don't know what that was. As journalists have pointed out before, it was not Jill Biden's father who was Dominic Giacoppa. It was her grandfather, but
right.
It still says father.
Right.
He's been doing this for years. So once the story's in his head, it ain't going to change.
Right. But what was that? What was that gibbering at the end of the...
I don't know. That's what people said. They couldn't figure out what he was carrying on about.
And he's mumbling. You can barely make out the words.
This is what happens when he starts to search the brain for where he's going, and he can't, so he kind of mutters. Maybe you won't figure it out that I completely screwed up. I might have said something that you just didn't understand because I garbled it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did the same thing on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, the Irish joke.
The Irish joke about being stupid. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
People don't like that. And apparently, he did. It was the same speech. He made up a Purple Heart for his uncle, Frank Biden, who fought in World War II.
He made up a Purple Heart.
He did. Yes. He claimed that his uncle Frank Biden won the Purple Heart for his actions during the Battle of the Bulge, but there's no evidence of the award. And this is my favorite. Key details of the story are chronologically impossible.
Aren't they always?
Because the story was, my dad, when I got elected vice president, he said, Joey, Uncle Frank fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was not feeling very well now because of the Battle of the Bulge, but he won a Purple Heart and he never received it, never got it. Do you think you could do something? You could get it? We could surprise him. So I got him the Purple Heart. He'd won it in the Battle of the Bulge. And I remember he came over to the house and
he's claiming he personally got his uncle the Purple Heart.
Yeah.
Through his influence.
But Biden's father, Joseph Biden Sr., died in September 2002, more than 6 years before Joe became vice president. And Frank Biden, Joe Sr.'s brother, died in 1999. So that's why it seems chronologically unlikely that this could have happened. Right.
Plus, there would be a record.
Because he says, my dad, when I got elected vice president, came up to me and said, can we do something for Uncle Frank and get him the Purple Heart that he
wants? But dad was gone and Uncle Frank was gone.
Yes. In 2008, they were both gone. What do you think this is?
Well, when he turns and shakes hands and nobody's there, do you think he's seeing
people
like old relatives who are already dead?
Yeah.
And maybe that's his Uncle Frank. And he thinks he's giving Uncle Frank the Purple Heart that doesn't exist. It's like an imaginary world, isn't it?
It is. What's amazing is he will not stop with these stories. I don't think there's anybody who approaches him and tells him maybe you better stop telling that story because it seems like the press is finding out it can't be real.
Because I don't think he can. I don't think he's there anymore. And there's nothing the staff can do. I mean, they'd have to remove him from office, you know, invoke the 25th Amendment. That's what they'd have to do if they wanted to make a big deal about it.
I was going to say, you can't invoke the 25th Amendment because he's telling old stories.
No, but if he was mentally incapacitated.
I see.
I think if a majority of the cabinet votes that he's mentally incapacitated, you could at least temporarily remove him. But then you end up with Kamala Harris.
We'll finish up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Okay, of course, a couple of breaking stories this afternoon. The U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts has put a stop on the stop. That's Title 42. It was supposed to expire in a couple of days on Wednesday, which would lead to a huge flood at the border. Not that that's not already happening. He's decided that, no, it's not going to end on Wednesday unless something changes significantly in about the next 24 hours in terms of Homeland Security responding. And otherwise, this may end up with the full Supreme Court. So it's a temporary hold on the end of Title 42. And the Weinstein jury did come back, although we're getting word that they're not completely done with their deliberations, but they only delivered guilty verdicts concerning one of the accusers, one of the Jane Does, Jane Doe number one. It's rape and other sex assault charges, so it'll result in significant time for Weinstein.
They're not done with the other three women yet? They're hung up, but they're not quitting?
I don't know. We've heard something about the term enhancements, but we don't know what that means. So we'll have to stand by and see what happens with the case tomorrow. I just don't think they're released yet is probably the way I would go with that answer. But the specifics, we have a source, but we can't say who it is or what it is. But that's what they're telling us, that there's something they still have to do. And it might concern enhancements. But
I see.
Now, if they only found him guilty.
Oh, here's something. Tomorrow, the jurors will return to deliberate on whether the judge should include unspecified aggravating factors when deciding his punishment.
His punishment.
He faces 6 years in prison on each of the counts, but that would rise to 8 years if the jury decides the aggravating factors should be considered.
Well, there you go. Those are the enhancements.
This is according to the El Segundo Times.
Okay. So that's what they have to still do tomorrow. He won't be sentenced until January.
Apparently, some people on the jury didn't believe Jennifer Newsom's story or didn't believe it enough to convict him.
Now, the horrible criminal justice system isn't just limited, obviously, to California and L.A. New York City had quite a story today. Actor Robert De Niro's townhouse was broken into by a repeat offender, a woman. Shanice Avalos apparently broke into his rented New York City townhouse and went through his things. De Niro was home and his daughter were both sleeping in the townhouse when this woman broke in. She's accused of trying to get into a bunch of commercial properties on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, but eventually settled on his townhouse at 2:45 a.m. this morning. She was spotted descending the exterior stairs into the home. Police apparently were in the area. That's how they nabbed her so quickly. She broke in through a basement entrance, which had visible signs of forced entry.
Does she spit around on the no bail system in New York City?
Yeah, it says here that she has been picked up on robbery charges, burglary charges before.
Right.
She had, according to reports, she has more than two dozen priors, with the majority being for alleged burglaries.
In New York, there's no bail.
Yeah, that's why you have to use the term alleged, because they kick a lot of these.
Yeah. So, and he's a big progressive. I mean, he was going on television and yelling F Trump all the time.
He was.
Remember?
I don't know how he is on crime, but I would imagine it's probably consistent with that.
He deserves this. People have been
16 arrests this year for petty larceny and burglary, this woman. 16? I realize the year is now almost done, but that's still more than one a month.
You know, people who vote for these progressive politicians and the progressive district attorneys deserve everything they get out of this.
She apparently was trying to steal Christmas presents. They're already under the tree on the 19th.
Well, I guess
Santa came early.
I don't know. Does he still make movies?
She was trying to use his iPad. That's kind of funny. Does he still make movies? I think so. He made some of these comedy grandpa movies that he's done.
I don't know. I'm
De Niro, Pacino, they can never quit. They just keep showing up in movies.
Well, what else are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. I read a book, travel, see the world, visit your family. Oh, maybe that's not a good idea. She smiled for her booking photo, probably aware that I'll be out soon. Hi.
Yeah. I mean, she's another crazy person. This is compulsive. Every day she's going out and stealing stuff. Sometimes they catch her, sometimes they don't. But there's never any real consequences.
Oh, there's a picture here. They've got her in the cuffs, and they're walking her into the two police officers, and she's smiling with her head bent, looking at the camera. Hi.
Well, when you've been nailed 16 times and you're still free.
Yeah. Let me worry.
This is another farce. Everything's a joke now. Everything is just performance theater.
Well, people don't want consequences for crimes. Then that's what happens.
That's why those people deserve to have their stuff stolen.
Yeah. Well.
In fact, I wish there was a way that these thieves and robbers would only steal stuff from people who vote for these policies.
Oh, like people who vote for Gascon. There could be something on the door.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think Gascon...
A little check mark, voted for Gascon, so go ahead.
The Gascon voters ought to be identified, have a special sticker, so then the burglars will know that that their presence will be welcome here.
That would be great.
That the occupant,
over the country.
The occupant is not going to want to press charges. They're going to want to give you a second chance.
Or in the case of this woman, 16 chances.
Thompson's on some mysterious line.
I love listening to the rant, though. I'm kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah.
You vote for his policies?
I think it's 17, that's the one they put you behind bars. So she's
Is that right?
Skating. Yeah, 16, you're okay. No, of course, I was all for the recall up north, and now I'm a tough law and order guy. I mean, I don't know if I extend my, but I'm probably I'm a tree hugger, as you know, John.
Sure.
So, and Ken, you're aware of that.
You hug a lot of things.
I do. A lot of things need hugging, John.
Trees among them.
Steve Gregory is going to join us off the top. Conway not here tonight, of course. He's off for the holidays. We'll talk about the fate of P-22, a euthanized mountain lion because of severe injuries.
You cried too, right? Did you cry?
I was close to it, Ken. You can mock me, but I was choked up, once again, another innocent creature falls.
Can I walk on your chihuahua past him?
Okay. And the mayor with the Inside Safe program. I know you guys are big fans. So,
Karen Garcetti.
The Weinstein, is it Harvey Weinstein or Weinstein?
It's Harvey Weinstein.
It's Steen.
Yeah. I actually, my podcast, which I kind of dry docked when I got the radio show and everything, the one called The Edge, my co-host or major contributor was J. Elvis Weinstein. He was the original voice of of Servo on Mystery Science Theater and everything. So he's done a lot in television. But when the Harvey Weinstein thing came down, it was like his worst day, because Weinstein and Weinstein, he always says, no, I'm Weinstein, not Weinstein.
Weinstein.
Yeah. So for Weinsteins everywhere, I'm sorry. And for Weinsteins everywhere, for that matter.
Yeah, you don't want your name about Harvey. Associated with this monster.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot to do. Right. Tim Cates is dropping in. We're going to talk sports as well. So it's a big show, boys.
Let's unpack it. All right. All right. You bring it on.
Thompson in for Conway tonight. Mike Crozier has the news. KFI, KOST HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.